Okay, so Susan, it was brilliant. I've just after completing the wine goose chase, so I'm here with Susan Boyle, who is the wine consultant.
Yeah, wine consultant and playwright, yes. Which is an odd combination, but well, a good one. I hope you enjoyed it. I
really enjoyed the show and all the information that you supplied with the wine goose chase. Mm-hmm. So just tell us a little bit more about the wine goose chase and how you came
up with the idea. Well, what's kind of interesting about it is that it's kind of a condensed and concentrated version of it, because there's so much information that I had to really curate what happens in the show. So the gist of it is that the Wine Goose Chase tells 2,000 years of Irish wine history while incorporating wine tasting into the performance, and all the wines that we taste have an Irish connection. So it's the story of ingenious Irish people who were fed up with the fact that they couldn't make wine in Ireland because our climate really doesn't lend itself to it, and just found their way in the wine world and other parts of the world, and really revolutionised how wine is made in the rest of the world as well.
Oh, it was really, really fascinating, and there was areas of let's say the wine tasting that I didn't even realise that was connected back to Ireland. Mm. So the nugget of your inspiration to start all the Wine Goose Chase, the title is so fascinating. And that relates back to the people that left Ireland.
To the wild geese. Well, to the wild geese at the beginning, who were Irish people who fought as mercenaries in other armies, in battles outside Ireland. And then the wild geese, which is a term that was coined by the historian Ted Murphy, and it's the title given to Irish people who are involved in making wine and in the wine industry in other parts of the world. And I came up with the idea for the play because I was asked to do a piece for T.G. Cahir for a programme called Cé a Chonaic Ó Mhaoirse, which is kind of like a who do you think you are except for houses. So they take a house and they plot all the people who live in it and the history of that house. And the house that they were focusing on for my episode was Rice House in Dingle, and the Rices are a phenomenal family, and they had really great associations with the monarchy in France, because one of their children had been educated alongside one of the Habsburgs. So when Marie Antoinette got into trouble, they decided they would rescue Marie Antoinette, smuggle her on a wine ship, and bring her to Dingle to safety. Now, Marie Antoinette wouldn't get on the boat, but we have the original receipts for the gilding that they had done to the mirrors, and the special chandelier that they had made for her, and the bed that they made specifically for the arrival of the Queen. But history would have taken a completely different path had she decided to get on this boat. But she didn't, because she felt it was treason against her husband, the king, and would have surely got the chop if she'd embarked on a life in Ireland. But it kind of makes me think that it's amazing to think that we could have had a French queen just hanging out in Dingle.
I know, it's fascinating. Can you imagine what Ireland would be like then? You know, what would have been, you know, if Marie Antoinette took refuge in Ireland?
Yeah,
you know?
And even the idea that was even a thought, that she'd had conversations about it, that she was thinking of going to Dingle and decided not to.
Of all the places you could have gone, Dingle would have been.
Yeah, because I think that we have this feeling that parts of Ireland are very isolated, like that Dingle is there, you know, next stop America and on the edge of Europe, and you know, just they're isolated. But actually, because they were so involved in trade routes, that you know, you might as well spend a couple of days on a boat and end up in France and be in mainland Europe rather than trying to get over the Connor Pass and onto a cow or onto a horse to make it all the way to Dublin. So it just was a different way of thinking. They're very outward looking.
And Dingle was it was an important port for wine trade.
It was
Bordeaux.
So Dingle was one of the free ports. There were 16 free ports that were dotted around the coast of Ireland. So what had happened was that so much wine was being imported into Ireland that they wanted to find some way of creating revenue from that. The British government did. But what really happened was that as soon as they started to tax it, Irish people were ingenious and just started to smuggle like crazy. And this led to just very unsafe practices. So it was quite dangerous. There were lots of shipwrecks and things happening because people were coming into port into places that were just unsuitable to be landing these large vessels. So the King Henry VIII decided to... Well, actually, I'm not sure. Was it King Henry VIII? Now I get all my history mixed up after doing the show. But they decided in 1596 to have a series of free ports where wine could be freely traded. So wine that came into these ports didn't have taxes on them, so they came into these ports that were dotted around Ireland, and Dingle was one of them.
That's fantastic. And this is your first year at Savour Kilkenny Food Festival?
No, it's actually my second year. So I premiered a Wine Goose Chase as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival in 2012, so I've been doing this now for nearly 2 years. And Marion from Savour Kilkenny, Marion Flannery, was talking to me because she heard about my show in the Dublin Fringe Festival, and it was brilliant. My show did really well and people loved the idea of it, and it sold out really quickly, and the Irish Times said it gave it 4 stars, and I was just really chuffed with it. But Marion had her ear to the ground with this, and the whole whole time during the preparation of my show, she's like, well, are you going to bring it to Kilkenny? Are you going to bring it to Kilkenny? Are you going to bring it to Kilkenny? And this festival was about maybe 3 weeks after the Fringe Festival that year. And I hadn't even performed it yet. And Marion was like, right, well, we're booking you into tour in Kilkenny. And I was like, oh my goodness, because it seemed like, I was like, but Marion, I'm only learning the script.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Susan, I think it'll be great. So I was so delighted, because if I hadn't had her support and her encouragement to get it on the road, to work out how many glasses I needed to tour it, to see if it could all fit into the back of my car and then go places, then I wouldn't have been on this wonderful journey, which I have been for the last 2 years. So it feels really full cycle to be able to bring it back to this festival now this year, having been to Cork and Sligo and about 30 different places that I've performed in all throughout Ireland, 30 different venues, some of them multiple now at this stage. People keep bringing me up and asking me back again.
Well, it's much more than a wine tasting. It's it's a lesson in history, and it makes you proud to be Irish, and it's fantastic. So what's next for the Wine Goose Chase?
Well, I'm working on a really exciting project at the moment with Dublin Airport. So I'm working as their wine consultant, and we're going to stock Terminal 1 with wines that have an Irish connection, which I think is just
brilliant.
I think it's like an absolutely wonderful connection, because for me, in my head, I think about geese and travel and flight and flight paths, and to have it in the airport, which is a wonderful point of departure and arrival for so many people, I think it should showcase this part of our history that really has been neglected.
Lost in history.
I think that when Ireland is such an ancient place, but such a new place. Mm. And when you're trying to forge the notion of a republic, I think that like nice wine drinking merchants just didn't quite fit into the to the idea of what our Irish republic was. And now we have this wonderful opportunity to revisit that and welcome these stories into our culture and into
and
our
celebrate,
history.
Celebrate history it. And celebrate all those people that went out there and kind of established these fantastic names and brands all over the world.
Yeah, because I find that when you're in France, they think that Lynch is a French name. Like, what are you talking about? It's from Galway. That's mad.
Yeah.
Les Lynch.
Yeah.
Lynch Barge. And I'm like, no. Like, definitely. Those Lynch is Irish. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And Hennessy, the same thing. There's a whole sway the French people who seem to think that's a French name as well.
Well, it's so brilliant that you're resurrecting all that and bringing it home and reminding us where it all has originated from. So it's really, really important. So how do people find out more about a Wine Goose Chase, and where are you going to be next?
Where am I next? The next stop is I'm doing a performance in Latitude 51 in Cork on the 6th of November, so that's just coming up shortly, and that's for Rhone Wine Week. So the wines that we'll be tasting in that show are all wines from the Rhone that have an Irish connection, which is really exciting. And then if you want to find out more about the show, it's a website, winegoosechase.com, so at winegoosechase.com. But if you type in Susan Boyle and wine, the first hit is going to be Susan Boyle singing Lilac Wine, which just isn't me at all. But you should find me shortly after that. So Susan Boyle and wine in Ireland on Google should find me here.
Thanks so much, Susan. Thanks so much, and I hope to see you again next year. That's brilliant.
So too.